The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Casey Jacobson from FS1, college basketball analyst, one of their main guys. It has been a very, very busy morning. Roy Williams retiring in North Carolina. Josh Christopher leaving Arizona State. You have the Final Four. So we have a lot to get to with Casey Jacobson. That comes up in about 15 minutes at 10:20. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. Desert Financial Credit Union around the valley and before you know it across the state of Arizona. We appreciate Desert Financial and their support. Jared Nielsen is the chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. He is making sure this ship is not steered into a cliff or into the Suez Canal or any canal for that matter. So there you go. Let's see. It is opening day. So I have to tell you, it kind of hit me last night about Pedro not being here. It just did. So, and I'm referring to Pedro Gomez, who passed away on Super Bowl Sunday in February, because most every year on opening day, we would have Pedro on. Eric would find Pedro. Pedro would make time in between live shots with ESPN, and he would come on, and we would talk about the hopes and chances of the Diamondbacks and what else, and it's like a void for me, and it's not on the show. It's just as a person. As a person, I just look forward to visiting with Pedro, and so it hit me last night. And on the field, the Diamondbacks play in San Diego today. Madison Bumgarner is on the mound, and hope springs eternal, and all of that. And as I sit here today, if they win more than 82 games, if they're above 500, it's an unbelievable season for them. It really is, because it means that they actually played on even fields with the Dodgers and Padres. It would mean they'd go about 500 against those two teams, in from my view. And I don't see how that's possible. I just don't. And you have Torrey Lovello in the last year of his contract not being extended. So you have those two things, three things, the Dodgers, the Padres, and Lovello's contract that I'm looking at and saying, if you're a major league ball player, we had Brett Boone on with us earlier this week, and it's the idea of being focused and being a major leaguer and just putting all the outside distractions. At some point, if you don't get off to a good start, it's going to be in the back of your mind of, man, I got to order moving vans in first week of October or late September because we're going nowhere. In fact, I'm going to order my moving vans in June. I'm going to make family plans. I'm going to make fishing trips and everything the first week of October because we have no shot. With this team and where they are and the uncertainty from the manager's seat, and I don't think I'm overstating that. Anybody who's going to give me that, well, it's not that big of a deal, come on. If you're told, hey, it's the last year of my deal, we need to talk, and nah, you know what, we'll get to it. Nah, it's okay, you're good, we're all good, right? And that's if I go out and if I have a bad day or two, I'm done. I'm finished. And so that storyline cannot be emphasized enough. I know we all want to have puffy clouds and ice cream and puppy dogs and all that stuff today on opening day. And I'm one of those too. I will watch today on Bally Sports, Arizona. I will watch the game. I'm excited to see just baseball in general because it does bring a sense of normalcy. It is a sense of routine. Between now and September, whether the team stinks or not, I know that most every night I'm going to have a game that I can watch, and I like that a great deal. But if I'm looking at this as a realist, which I try to be here, I don't try to wave the hometown flag when things look desperate. It's Madison Bumgarner's not going to be here on August 1st. Nick Ahmed's got a balky knee. I don't know if he's in the lineup yet or not. I've not seen it released. I don't know how long he's going to be here. It feels like this is going to be some of those. Eduardo Escobar, how long is he going to be here? Ketel Marte, how long is he going to be here? Can you go trade those assets and bring in people for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years from now? Bring in players that you feel like, you know what, at some point we can compete with the Padres and the Dodgers. And then you have the aging ballpark, and you have the owner who is doing, I'm not quite sure how to put it with Ken Kendrick at this point. I like Ken personally, but the team is, a middle of the road ball club. No other way to put it. So it's a really interesting time. I could see 60, 90 days from now, this whole thing being torn down. But if they're hanging around and hanging around, and what is hanging around? You know, every year they hang around to around July 1st, and they go play in LA against the Dodgers for three or four games, and they lose three or four, and from there, just go look. Go look. Every year, it's right around the 1st of July, they're hanging around. And then by the end of July, it's thank goodness football season is here because the baseball team is over. I'm optimistic that they'll be interesting. I don't know how entertaining. I like Torrey as a manager. I don't know how entertaining they're going to be. Like the Padres are entertaining. They're entertaining. They're interesting. They've thrown a lot of money at a product. They have this rivalry with the Dodgers. There's no rivalry with the Diamondbacks. There isn't. You can tell me it's the Dodgers. Dodgers care more about the Giants and the Padres than they do about the Diamondbacks. We can create all we want, but you know, it's just how it is. When the Cubs come to town, it's going to be filled with Cubs fans. That's how it is right now with this baseball team. But at least they are playing, unlike Washington and the Mets. You know, it's day one in COVID, but you have to understand, today the Mets and Nats were wiped out, not playing, COVID. COVID in the county where Washington is much stricter. These are still local rules. I know you want your team to play. The other thing on baseball is this is the time of year where the baseball haters like to come out. They do. They like to point out that baseball's average age of someone watching the game or paying interest to the product is north of 55. Obviously, that's not good. You have to get younger. Doesn't mean that you just force everybody who's 55 to the margins. It's what can you do to get the 20s and 30s interested. That's why ESPN just paid a boatload of money to the NHL because it's a young demo. That's why the NFL can just charge billions of dollars because they can bring everybody in. That is still the behemoth. And why is baseball falling behind? Do we have to have seven-inning doubleheaders to really keep the attention of the younger generation? I don't know if that works. Is it markets that have to be good? How many bad teams? How many teams today on opening day are sitting there saying, man, this is going to be great, and then by next week, when's football start? Or here in Phoenix, when do the Suns begin the playoffs? I mean, really, because we are in a market where we have a team that's interesting. I'll segue over to them. Watched them again last night. Listen to Al do the game last night. Al sounds as great as ever, Al McCoy. It's a fun product. Devin had 45. My thing with Devin Booker, back in the day when the team stunk and he'd score 70 at Boston, everybody was saying, oh, this is amazing, this is awesome. No, they're not good. He's got to just shoot. Now it's, you know, I need to take over this game in this space. Because I'll give the Bulls credit. They didn't have Zach LaVine last night, and yet they hung around with the Suns. And for Devin to go for 45 on 17 of 24 shooting, it's the guys that get their points. And you look at their stat line. Carmelo Anthony used to be the king of this. Oh my gosh, Melo was awesome last night. Really? He was 12 of 31 from the floor. He took 31 shots and he scored his 30 points. That's not awesome. Numbers don't lie. 17 of 24 shooting for 45, that is impressive. That is really impressive. And so, you know, the whole idea of, well, the Bulls hung around, they didn't have their best player, it wasn't really that impressive. Knock it off. Okay? A win is a win for this team, for where they've been. Scratch it off. It's win number, what, they're 33 and 14? 33 wins? Who would have had that a year ago at this time? Say, you know, they're going to have one of the best records in all the NBA. So they have a day off today. They have Oklahoma City tomorrow night. They should win that game. You're starting to look at the Suns and say, when the schedule rolls up, okay, they should win that game. They should win that game. They should win that game. Yeah, they might struggle in that game. It's when you play teams. They play the Lakers. There's no LeBron James. There's no Anthony Davis. So you caught a break. Doesn't matter. Can't apologize for it. So what they do, they take care of business. They lose a game to Minnesota a couple weeks back. How does that happen? And we do lose our minds off of games like that. Minnesota has a very good player, but they're not good. And so you can't have games like that happen. So it's a good run for the Suns. Couple things on the college basketball end that I'm going to get into momentarily with Casey Jacobson, but I think it is worth discussing here off the top. And that is Roy Williams retiring today. Roy Williams at 70 years of age, I can't see Roy Williams showing up at Mesquite High School for a summer classic like they had back in the day, where it's all the coaches from around college basketball show up. They're wearing their gear. They're trying to get in front of players over on court 3 at 10:20 a.m. and then over on court 4 at 11:30. I can't see a guy like Roy Williams doing that anymore. And then in the transfer portal is a game changer. Every year you have to convince every single last player you need to stay here. And so when you get on a player, you guys, you've competed in sports. You know this. You know this. There's probably a coach that got into you, and you probably said deep inside, I want to quit. And then you work through it. And now you look back at that coach and say, man, that coach had my best interests at heart. Those days are gone. We have a culture now, for the most part, I do believe, that wants to be told what they want to be told. They want to hear what they want to hear. So if every day they show up and the voice is saying, you got to get better, you got to get better. And it doesn't matter if it's football or basketball. If it's basketball, I'm not getting mine. My NBA dream is going away. I'm not the first option. I'm not the second option. They just recruited this kid. What about me? Well, maybe you're not playing that well. Maybe you're not paying attention to detail. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Go right down the list of the maybes. Same in football. Transfer portal has taken the hammer away from coaches, and now the players have it. The inmates are running the asylum. If you're on the player's side of the street on this just because you want to go get yours, you're just going to shop around and bounce from school to school to school. That happens. You might be the 5'10 quarterback who said, it's not good enough for me at this high school, so I'm going to leave and go to another high school because I'm not getting recruited enough. Well, guess what? You're 5'10. Doesn't happen. They're not all Kyler Murrays out there. Anyways, I digress. And the Coyotes last night. It was just like, I put it over there for a couple minutes on Valley Sports, and it was 5 goals. And that's when I stopped, and I saw this morning it was 9-3. Nine? Like, Rick Tocchet's going to get fired. This new ownership group, they're not new anymore. They've been at this a couple of years. Don't make the postseason. I'm going to see a change over there in all likelihood. I'm not saying it's the right move. It's just I think they have an itchy trigger finger. Casey Jacobson, FS1, a lot going on. Roy Williams retires about 2 hours ago. Josh Christopher leaves Arizona State. What's his pro future? What's his legacy at ASU? And do the Bruins have any shot at all against Gonzaga? That's all next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, a very busy April Fool's morning. And when the news of Roy Williams broke out, I'd already asked Casey Jacobson to join us, Fox Sports 1, FS1 analyst, for a few minutes. And this news just comes out of left field. At first, I thought, Casey, April Fool's Day joke. No joke. What are your thoughts?
Well, Roy's a legend, right? And coaching basketball isn't just about X's and O's. It's about teaching young men. And there hasn't been too many in the business and teaching young men how to be good basketball players and good people than Roy Williams. Had the opportunity to compete against Roy Williams coached teams during my career at Stanford. And he is going to be celebrated and should be celebrated for the good dude that he is. Look, Brad, whenever this stuff happens, it's always time to reflect on what a massive impact that Roy Williams has had. People are going to talk about his wins and all the NBA players and stuff, and it's incredible. But to do it for such a long period of time is the part that really is mind-boggling, because you have to have a certain amount of energy and enthusiasm to coach high-level young men every single year. And so I'm happy that Roy walked away on his own accord, that he said, you know what, enough's enough. I've done enough in this game. Multiple national championships. He's on a short list, Brad, and it's pretty awesome. So thank you. I just want to say thank you to Roy Williams for his contribution to my favorite game of basketball.
How much, Casey, we don't know because he's not talked yet, but how much of it do you think plays into transfer portal players never left North Carolina, then suddenly players were leaving North Carolina. He's 70. He's accomplished a lot. He's got money in the bank. I don't need this headache anymore. I mean, basically, he's walking out gracefully and on his own terms.
Yeah, it's a good point and a fair question. However, I would say that the transfer thing, the transfer portal has been going on for years now. This isn't like a brand new revelation, although this year's transfer portal is going to break records. It's already been established. But this kind of one and done culture where guys, if they're not getting playing time or not getting what they thought they were going to get, are out. That's been going on for at least 5 years, I would say. And he has dealt with it gracefully or as well as anybody. But it is a fair question. The game has evolved. And some of which has been great. And some of it, honestly, has not been so great and has made it more difficult for older coaches to continually to have to re-recruit their own players. And maybe Roy said, you know what, COVID-19 pandemic, this was a difficult year for all of us. I am getting older. Maybe I need to be more health conscious and enjoy the last decade or two decades of my life and enjoy all the money and fame. Like, look, Roy can go and speak and be in, he can be a broadcaster if he wants. Enjoy his life. Let a young buck take over the reins at North Carolina and continue his legacy.
Yeah, I just can't see Roy Williams on a summer circuit over on court 3
sure.
and then bouncing over to court 4. And fans may not know what that's about, but the recruiting process, that is a grind. Who replaces him? Who are some names you think early on? The first name I thought of was Hubert Davis. That's from a distance. He's on his staff. They're very loyal. I don't know. Do you have some names?
I don't have any names, but I do have a comment. I am the more I cover basketball as for a living, the less I am about getting a North Carolina guy that would be great. It's a bonus when the most qualified candidate also understands your university and has a love and affinity for it. It's a bonus, but it shouldn't be the number one requirement. I mean, like, I know this isn't about Stanford, but like my alma mater, when they get new coaches, I don't care if they went to Stanford. I really don't. What I care about is, can they win basketball? Can they help these kids win basketball games? And at North Carolina, that's as true as any program in the country. Like, John Calipari isn't a Kentucky guy. He's a really good recruiter. Yeah. And if you want to get the best talent, you go get John Calipari. North Carolina is such a unique and special and a blue blood job. I do not think it should be limited to the pool of North Carolina and Roy Williams attached players, former coaches. I don't think so. I think it's so big and so massive. They should be calling NBA coaches and assistants in the NBA that they think could do a good job. And if they really like a college coach who already has a great job, hey man, pick up the phone, say, hey, North Carolina's calling. People are going to take that phone call.
Yeah, it's like Brad Stevens' name is everywhere this morning. I don't know if there's any legitimacy to it or not, but his name's all over the place. Casey Jacobson with us, FS1. Do you have a quick thought? There's a lot to get to, but a quick hit on Chris Beard taking Texas. That was a job that when Shaka Smart came there, it's going to get turned around, and it didn't.
Chris Beard is one of my personally favorite coaches in college basketball. I have broadcasted several of his games at Texas Tech over the last couple of years and just really impressed with the way he connects with his players, the high energy, the way he's been able to turn around Texas Tech. Brad, Texas Tech is not a great, it's not a great job. They have some money and they're getting new facilities and stuff like that, but they play in a really good conference with much bigger brands, including Texas. So he knew that he was facing a huge battle to look. He's already turned around Texas Tech, or he already did. What I'm saying is he knew that he had a huge uphill battle to get Texas Tech back to the national championship game that it played in just 2 years ago and to perennially be a top, 15 program in the country. That the obstacles are less at Texas. Doesn't mean that it's, streamlined for him, but Texas, by all accounts, is a better coaching job, whether it's football or basketball. They have more resources. They have a larger fan base and they have a better brand, which matters to high school kids. They would rather, if given the choice, go to Texas over Texas Tech. And I think Chris Beard knows that.
couple other questions. I'll get you out of here. Casey Jacobson, FS1, bringing it today. Busy, busy news day. All right, Josh Christopher leaving Arizona State. What is the tagline of Josh Christopher's run at ASU? The expectations were so high. Disappointment is the way it finished out. How does he look as a pro? What do you think?
You know, Josh Christopher was a fine player. When he was healthy, there were a couple games, Brad, where he completely took over, right, and showed his unlimited potential in my eyes. However, we're seeing a lot of this, and this happened with Zaire Williams at Stanford as well. Neither Josh Christopher nor Zaire Williams made the all-freshman team. They were both honorable mention. And the reason why is because they missed some games due to injury. Zaire Williams missed some games because of a personal family issue. But these are both guys who were, coming into the year were expected to be NBA lottery picks and showed flashes of that. However, neither one helped their team actually win a majority of their games and reach their individual and their team's potential. And if you look in the recent history of college basketball, Brad, this is an important point I want to make. The top picks in the country, Markelle Fultz at Washington, they had a losing record in the Pac-12 regular season. Ben Simmons at LSU couldn't get LSU to the NCAA tournament. And then recently last year, Anthony Edwards, the number one pick, who went to Georgia. Georgia did not would not have participated in the 2020 tournament if we had one. So there is a recent track record of even the best prospects in the NBA, and James Wiseman would be another one who didn't really help Memphis last year when he quit halfway through the year. So, like, your pro potential has literally nothing to do with your college production and whether or not you can help a team turn things around. So Josh Christopher, he was like a comet that went across the sky. If you blinked, you might have missed him. But really, I hope he goes on. I wish him luck at the NBA level, and I think he could have a fantastic career. But he's going to be a forgotten college player. There's just no other way to say it.
That's a really, really good way to sum it up. All right, UCLA beats Gonzaga if – the air is taken out of the tires on the bus, or do you have something on the court?
No, I don't have anything on the court, but hey, let's give this to me is more of a celebration of what UCLA has done, Brad.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to get beat badly if they even compete. If this is a game with 5 or 6 minutes to go, I'm going to chalk it up as an incredible job. But what UCLA has done, the reason that they are here is because they slow teams down. They've been really good defensively. And then Johnny Juzang has turned into Superman. Okay. The combination of those two things have led them here, but it's not going to be enough against one of the best teams that I've seen. That, like, they can slow Gonzaga down a little bit, but Brad, UCLA just scored 51 points against Michigan. I think that number has to be 81 points. Yeah. If you're going to beat Gonzaga, I don't see how that's even possible for the UCLA Bruins to do that, especially when you consider the fact that Gonzaga is a much better defensive team than a lot of people give them credit for.
What is Mark Few doing up there, Casey? I mean, the recruiting part of it, okay, I get it, but you still have to have the buy-in. You still have to have the work ethic. It's beautiful basketball to watch them play the game on both ends of the court. What is Mark Few doing? What is the secret sauce?
There is no secret sauce, and you know that, Brad, but what he's done in 20, I think he's been there 21 years as a head coach. He was there a few years before that as an assistant. Yeah. He has slowly and steadily built this thing up. It started in 1999 or 1998 with Dan Monson as the head coach and Matt Santangelo as his lead point guard. Then he handed the reins off to Mark Few, who had Dan Dickow, and then he had Adam Morrison and Roni Turioff and others who made the NBA. To me, that's okay. You have to have a combination, Brett, to build up a program from kind of nothing to something. You have to do two things. One, win. Okay. You got to win and then you'll get recognition. But the second thing you have to do is produce NBA players, because I don't think high school kids really notice a program until they start seeing that program has guys in the NBA. That's when the light really goes on. Like, hey, Gonzaga is a really good option for me. And that those tables turned, I would say, in the mid-2000s is when it started to be like they are getting 4- and 5-star recruits on the regular. And so those two things happen. And then, look, he's a good coach. What else can I say? You know, Gonzaga's kind of isolated, so they get to do their own thing. They get to hammer on the WCC conference during the regular season to sharpen their sword, and then they unleash their NBA players that they have every year in the tournament. They've made six in the last six tournaments, Brad. They've gotten to the Sweet 16 or better. They're the only program in the country that can say that.
And there's no chance, from your view on the other side, Baylor or Houston takes them?
There is a chance for Baylor. Look, I am really, really cheering for Houston, but not to win this game. I do not want to see a Gonzaga versus a Houston matchup. I think that would be a 20-point blowout. I think Baylor absolutely has a puncher's chance. They would still be the underdog, but Baylor plays both ends of the floor, Brad. They have a really good backcourt, which is what you have to have when you play Gonzaga. So I hope that's the matchup we see.
Let's go off that. Busy day. Appreciate all your time as always, Casey. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good week.
There's Casey Jacobson, FS1, and we're back with more after this timeout. So, yeah, today is April Fool's Day. And so when the Roy Williams story came down, I looked at it and said, that can't be. But it was put out by North Carolina. It seems like, feels like somebody somewhere would say, why don't we wait a day? But I know in this day and age of when is it a slow news day? When are you going to get the most bang? When are you going to get the most attention? And that happens every day now. I see stuff that's like they could have held on to this, but they just want to dominate the news cycle, and I get it. They're just looking for a space to put out their brand. But I thought about doing an April Fool's joke. It's been a while since we've done one. The best one that I think we've ever pulled off really made Arizona State mad. So this was when Jake Plummer, this goes way back. We did a few of them, but Jake Plummer was at Arizona State. It was his senior year. And I was talking with Jake and said, you know, it'd be kind of fun. This is a couple days before. I'm thinking about doing a prank. He said, I'm all in. Tell me what I need to do. I said, you just need to come on my show early in the morning. This is when I was doing mornings. And talk about how you've decided to petition the NFL to go back to college for another year, that you want to work on being a punter. Your arm is not what you thought it was going to be. There wasn't enough leg strength or enough arm strength. Your legs have gotten a lot stronger, so you want to be a punter. You want to be Jake Plummer, the punter. And he said, I'm in. So I put Jake on, comes on at like, I don't know, it was like 6:30 in the morning. He sounds all despondent. He's like, yeah, you know, the scouts just don't think my arm is strong enough. They just don't think I can play. And so I've decided I'm going to go back to Arizona State. I'm going to be a punter, and I'm actually working on being a left-footed punter, and I think that I could really do well. And the phone lines start lighting up, and it's people that were hook, line, and sinker. Oh, this is awesome. This is amazing. This is awesome. This is amazing. Jake's coming back. And it was like 10 minutes in, and then somebody out there figured it out. And I put him on there like, this is an April Fool's gag. There's no way he's coming back. I'm like, I don't know. So I'm doing my thing, and it's like 45 minutes into this bit, and the phone rings in the back line, the bat phone, we'd call it. And it's Arizona State Public Relations, and they're not happy. They're really, really not happy. I'm getting yelled at. It's not even Eric. I think Eric was producing. I'm getting screamed at by someone who's still there. And it's, this isn't funny, and you have no idea, and so on and so on and so on and so on. But too bad. So that was a good one. I like that one. I think the next year we did, they're going to build an above-ground sewer pipe around where they were talking about the light rail at the time. This is all the way back when we were talking about light rail. And I said, why don't we just put sewer lines above line? And to make it really biodegradable friendly, we'll keep instead of being like really heavy PVC pipe, we'll make it pipe that you could see what is flowing through, and we'll put it above ground. It'll be great. And of course, people are like, that's a really bad idea. That's a really bad idea. And somebody somewhere said, this is an April Fool's Day gag, you think? So, I don't know, we could have done that stuff, but it's just fine. It's just fine. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He's the Iron Man. The show repeats over and over for the next 24 hours. Our football show is on Bally Sports Arizona. They had a great debut last night, a great launch. Bally Sports Arizona, our longtime partner. Our show airs a minimum of 12 times per week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. We appreciate all of our partners. When you see these spots that you're about to see, these are people that believe in us. We are self-funded, and we've been at it since 2012. Really enjoyed doing the process. Have yourself a great day.